Translation: although Prahlad is only 5 years old, even at this young age, he has given up his affectionate relationship with his father and mother. Therefore, he is certainly untrustworthy. Indeed, it is not at all believable that he will behave well towards Vishnu. So this is Hiranyakashipu speaking, chastising his son. Paramparatyam hitriya paropayatyam hitarin yatasadaradam swadeha jopyam anayat sutihitaha chinyatar angatar utam ananohitam shesham sukam jivatiyat vija janat. Excuse me. Now, Hiranyakashipu is speaking something very allegorical. Although a medicinal herb being born in the forest does not belong to the same category as a man, if beneficial, it is kept very carefully. Similarly, if someone outside one's family is favorable, he should be given protection like a son. On the other hand, if a limb of one's body is poisoned by disease, it must be amputated so that the rest of the body may live happily. Similarly, even one's own son, if unfavorable, must be rejected, although born of one's own body. Hiranyakashipu's philosophy towards his son. Purport: Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed all devotees of the Lord to be humbler than the grass and more tolerant than the tree. Otherwise, there will always be disturbances to their execution of devotional service. Here is a vivid example of how a devotee is disturbed by a non-devotee, even though the non-devotee is an affectionate father. The material world is such that a non-devotee father becomes an enemy of a devotee's son, having determined to kill even his own son. Hiranyakashipu gave the example of amputating a part of one's body that has become septic and therefore injurious to the rest of the body. The same example, of course, may also be applied to non-devotees. Janaka Pandit advises, Twaja Duranjan Samsamgar Bhaja Sadhu Samangamam. Devotees actually serious about advancing in spiritual life should give up the company of non-devotees and always keep company with devotees. To be too attached to material existence is ignorance, because material existence is temporary and miserable. Therefore, devotees who are determined to perform tapasya, that is, penance and austerities, to realize oneself, and who are determined to become advanced in spiritual consciousness, must give up the company of atheistic non-devotees. Prahlad Maharaj maintained an attitude of non-cooperation with the philosophy of his father, Hiranyakashipu, yet he was tolerant and humble. Hiranyakashipu, however, being a non-devotee, was so polluted that he was even prepared to kill his own son. He justified this by putting forth the logic of amputation. Om Agyan Timidandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurudevaina Maha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swam Padantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padagamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Brinda Vineswari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Bhaevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaho Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyatya De Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Vrindanandasya Dvaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare So Haranikashipu Prabhupada's purport is quite amazing, full of very important instructive principles of spiritual practice. So Prabhupada's purport centers around Prahlad Maharaj's attitude, and that is that although he's being put into very, not harassed, but he's actually being trying to be killed, he is still very humble and very tolerant. Prabhupada begins the purport by explaining how important it is for devotees to not be disturbed in the execution of their devotional service, so that we might say the mood of devotional service that allows one to continue, what we say unimpeded by difficulties, is cultivating that burst by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Trinadapi sanichena tayari vaso hishnuna amanina mamanadena kirtaniya sadadahi. We recite this verse quite often and sometimes every day. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this verse is the king of all verses, because in order to practice devotional service, one must practice this mood, otherwise one cannot actually understand how to make progress in devotional service. There will always be disturbances, there will always be reverses. This we should expect, because this is the nature of the material world. And it is also part of the process of devotional service that things don't always go the way you want. Yes, I was all prepared to come to the kirtan and leave, and then they said, Maharaj, you got to give class. I said, oh, I forgot to look at the schedule. They had me down. So I said, okay, I'll give class, because I have a big ego. So I gave class. Anyway, the point is, we try not to have a big ego. We try to always cultivate the mood of humility and tolerance in all difficult circumstances, in all circumstances. And the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains what are the 20 items of knowledge. And the first one, he says, Amani dhammam, amanbittam amanidam ahimsam arjavam. The first four he mentions is humility, pridelessness, tolerance, nonviolence. These are considered to be items of knowledge. Now, how is it possible, or how is it understandable, that a quality such as a characteristic of one's nature, such as humility, can be an item of knowledge? We think of items of knowledge to be something like some philosophical precepts. But humility qualifies one to understand everything. It qualifies one to understand. Well, what is humility? And this Prabhupada writes in that same purport the definition of humility. He says, humility means not wanting the distinction to be honored by others. Lord Chaitanya says, give honor to others and don't expect anything from yourself, for yourself. Now, devotees don't have much problem giving honor to others. We do that. It's quite easy to respect and honor others, generally. But to not want any respect for yourself, that's a struggle. That's hard. Because you expect that. You expect why, you know, because we might even say it's good social etiquette to be respected, to receive respect so you can function happily and nicely. The Lord Chaitanya says, no, don't even expect that. That's Krishna consciousness. Of course, if someone honors someone, one should be, doesn't say, oh, don't honor me. No, no. We don't accept honor or dishonor to be coming towards oneself. It comes towards the body, and we are not the body. So an honor and dishonor is superfluous to the soul. And therefore, one should not be elated in honor or disturbed in dishonor or lack of getting honor. One should simply be tolerant and go on with their devotional service, that's all. And if one does not get honored or expects honor and doesn't receive that, then one should think Krishna is doing something. He's teaching me a lesson. He's helping me to develop the quality of humility. He's detaching me from my false pride. He's trying to help me understand some principle that I need to understand. Even if it's not like that, if you think like that, then you can actually understand, well, you can actually, what we say, always be in the right position to execute devotional service. Expectations cause us to be unhappy. Yeah, when we have expectations. Of course, we should expect to go home back to Godhead. That's okay. Or we should expect the mercy of the Lord coming in different forms. But as far as expectations for our material needs or the body, one should be attached to the detached from these things. If they come, that is all well and good. If they don't, it doesn't make a difference, and we just go on in our devotional service. And one who is without expectations, when something comes favorable or wonderful, how happy you are. But when you expect it, even when you get it, you're not so happy, right? You expect something and you get it because you expected it, and it's not such a good thing, great thing. But if you have no expectations and someone says, here's some nice prasadam. Wow, thank you very much. Even though I wasn't hungry, still, because you gave me this nice prasadam, I'll accept it. So that is Krishna consciousness, to be free from what we say, expectations. We need certain things to do our service, so we should arrange that. But ultimately we know that Krishna's in control, or Krishna's working in such a way that he's providing whatever we need accordingly. He says that, I carry what you lack, I preserve what you have. We can't sometimes see when things don't go our way, why they're not going our way. Or when things do go our way, we think, oh yes, now I have it down pat. I got the understanding of how to do devotional service. You get like that, right? When things go your way, you think, now I got it down. One and one is two. Write it down. Keep it in the mouth. So if I do this way, I get this result. Krishna says, no. When you expect things, just like, I mean, this is a little bit of an interesting example, but it's a nice story, so I'll tell the example. There was one devotee. He was watching Prabhupada. Prabhupada was going in and out of his room in India. I think it was in Vrindavan. And he would leave his nice, white, soft shoes right by the door. And then he'd go into his room. And when he'd come out, he'd put his shoes on and go out, and then come back and leave his shoes on. So he was thinking, I'm going to get those shoes. So what he did is he went to the store and found the exact same shoe, the exact same size. So he's thinking, I'm watching Prabhupada, and every time he does the same thing. He puts his shoes on, goes out, leaves them by the door, and comes back. So he's all ready with his plan, and he's just watching from a distance. Prabhupada goes to the door and walks in the room with the shoes on. Just the time he was ready to switch the shoes. So he's thinking, what happened? Prabhupada never does that. So his plan got foiled. So the next day, Prabhupada was giving class. Prabhupada said, don't try to play tricks on your spiritual master. That's what he said in class. Not even, you know, it was like Prabhupada had no, and you could look at it from one point, like he had no understanding of what was going on. But because Krishna's in the heart and spiritual master knows what Krishna wants him to know, he understood. And Prabhupada went to the devotee and said, here's the shoes. He gave the shoes to him. and he took his gift as a shoes. So sometimes we have, oh, you know, we're just like expecting things and it just doesn't go like that. So what is our expectations? We should be expecting to have the opportunity to get the mercy of the Lord by association with devotees like that, and getting the opportunity for devotional service. And we expect to be engaged in devotional service. So, Prahlad Maharaj, even though everything is going, he's acting perfectly as a pure devotee of the Lord, he's being harassed by his father. Harassed in a very, what we say, violent way. And that'll come up in the next few verses. You'll get to see exactly, or get to hear exactly how the demons tried so many ways to destroy him. But because he was fully absorbed in Krishna, fully, not just partially, his mind was absorbed, like he was seeing Krishna face to face, it was like impossible for his demoniac father to affect him in any way. So that is the power of the Lord's mercy upon his devotee. When one becomes fixed in devotional service, when one remembers Krishna, nothing external can deter or harm a devotee. As long as we're remembering Krishna, if we forget Krishna, then we're in a difficult situation. That's why that verse from the Vishnu Purana is mentioned. And even a moment's forgetfulness of Krishna is one of the most dangerous of all calamities. It's the worst mistake, it's the greatest anomaly to forget Krishna for one moment, because anything can happen in that one moment. So always remember Krishna, that is. So we cultivate the qualities that are conducive to remembering Krishna, and that is humility. Here Prabhupada mentions humility and tolerance. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was instructing all his senior sannyasis before they were ready to go to the West to preach, he said it will be very difficult to preach in the Western countries. People in the West don't appreciate what we have. So the only way you will be able to preach in Western countries is you have to be Trinadapi Sanijena. When they see that, they will listen to your message. Even though we have the greatest message, still people will not appreciate if we don't have that proper mood of how to deliver the message. Because usually people don't want it. But the quality of a devotee attracts the non-devotee to hear about Krishna. The qualities of a devotee attracts the non-devotee to hear about Krishna. Well, even though they may not be so interested in what we have, still they become interested because of the devotee. The devotee is so nice. One Sankirtan devotee told me one story one time. Actually, he told this story to a group of devotees. He said he was distributing books. He was here in Europe. And he was carrying, you know, many different kinds of books with him, different titles. And he was distributing books. He was a big distributor. So one young girl, he approached her, I think, and he was explaining it. And she said, "Oh, these books are so nice. What you're doing is such a wonderful service. You're helping so many people. These books have the best of all knowledge." And she was just praising him and praising the books and praising the philosophy, everything. And finally she took so many books and she said thank you and left. He was so happy. But his happiness turned into a little bit of false pride. A little bit of false pride. So, you know, you can imagine if someone comes up and says, "You're doing such wonderful work. Thank you very much. This philosophy and this lifestyle is, look what I'm looking for." So many nice things, she said. And so he caught that element of pride and he carried it with him for a while. So he met one man and he was trying to approach the man. The man said, "No, I'm not interested." But he was persistent. So the man said, "What do you have there? Let me see." He said, oh, yeah, I've seen these books by Bhaktivedanta, yeah. And there it describes so many things. And it also talks about the qualities of a devotee. And I can see you don't have any of these qualities. That's what he said. And I can see you don't have any of them. So actually, this book you should read. So I gave it back to the devotee. So you get the point? He was a little proud from his previous success that this man picked up on this man's on his pride. And so rather than, you know, Krishna used this person to teach this devotee, don't be proud. So here, this verse is explaining so nicely how Prahlad Maharaj, he might be thinking, well, why is my father doing this? I'm giving him the highest knowledge just for his own benefit. But he was humble and he was tolerant. It says, therefore, one should be steady in all reverses. That's the quality of a devotee. Sometimes things go, what we say, not our way. Or sometimes really things go really reversal. One should thank Krishna. Tate nukampa susamikshamanam bunjane vatripa vipakam ridvava habir viradanam stejiveti yo mukti padesha dayabak. Then Prabhupada explains this verse is very essential for devotees to learn and to understand. Is that when one is put into a difficult circumstances, even though one is trying to execute devotional service, one should thank Krishna and say, actually, I deserve worse. What I received in this circumstance is only a small part of what I actually receive. I deserve much worse. Thank you. And then it's very difficult to practice this. But the last line of the verse is Mukti Padesha Dayabak, that the kingdom of God becomes what we say, available, or one's rightful inheritance. In other words, if you have a family and they're rich, they will leave you the fortune. That's your rightful inheritance. So you inherit the kingdom of God when we have the mood of accepting whatever happens as the grace of the Lord. And so it's a very difficult thing. But to go back home, back to Godhead, is not easy either. It's the greatest gift. So we have to prepare our consciousness by cultivating these qualities: humility, tolerance, pridelessness, patience, nonviolence. The qualities that are conducive to the execution of devotional service. And then execute our devotional service. The qualities without service will simply bring false pride. And the service without the qualities will not attract the attention of the Lord. We attract the attention of the Lord by our consciousness, not so much by our service. Krishna is eager to accept our service when our consciousness for executing that service is nice or proper. It's like when we take darshan of the Lord every day in the Didi Darshan. We're so happy to see Krishna. We're so happy to see the deities. We're thinking, this is a great, wonderful experience. Look how nice they're dressed. We put our mind at the lotus feet of the Lord and pray for His mercy. And please engage us in devotional service. We're thankful for such an opportunity. Therefore, gratefulness is one of the qualities of one who understands what one has been given, to be grateful. And even in difficult circumstances, or we might even say reverse circumstances, that gratefulness makes us appreciate even the reversals. Even the reversals. So that is the process of devotional service. Because devotional service, as Bhaktisiddhanta says, is a path that is strewn with thorns. If you want to go back home, back to Godhead, you're going to have to jump over or tolerate the thorns. Jai Sisi Radha Gokula Nandi Ki Jai, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai, Sri Sri Gaur Nittai Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. So, but you want to make the process of devotional service less difficult? How do you do that? What's the way? Do two things. One, develop an attachment for chanting. When we develop attachment for the holy name, that attachment gives us the higher taste. And serve Vaishnavas, that's all. Serve Vaishnavas to please Vaishnavas and chant the holy names with enthusiasm. These are the essential principles that are the fundamental, the foundation of anything we do in devotional service. How to serve the devotees, how to develop more and more an eagerness and more a taste for chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When you're chanting Hare Krishna, you are, even if you're not fully absorbed, you are in the best possible position, because you are associating with Krishna at least to some degree through the sound of his holy name. And as we become absorbed in the holy name, that association becomes deeper and more, what we say, noticeable. We can notice it as we go deeper into the holy name. Krishna's there. Okay. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu. Tell me your name again. Gaur Krishna. Yeah, thank you. I forget names easy. Thank you. Gaur Krishna, Hare Krishna. Huh? I can remember numbers, but I can't remember names. I can tell you your own phone number if you tell me it once. But when it comes to names, you can introduce me to somebody and I'll say, what's your name? I just heard it a minute ago. Can't remember names. Sorry. He gives a good logical explanation why. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Call them a disease, yeah. Yeah, although he was, what we say, envious and mischievous and devious and didn't have anyone's good wishes or good intentions in mind, still, Dhritarashtra was so attached. We use that example to show how one can be attached to one's family members, even if it's inauspicious or counterproductive. That's how attachment goes. He's got a good philosophical statement. He's given good reason why. He doesn't just say, and he said, you know, he says, if something is beneficial, even though it's not within the category of man, it can be used and protected and be accepted. Even if someone is outside of one's family is favorable, they should be treated as a son. And someone who is unfavorable, even though he's a family member, should be rejected, because that will destroy the rest of the family. Using the example that if an arm is diseased, if it's kept on the body, it'll spread and pollute the whole body. Very good philosophy. But except that it doesn't apply to Prahlad in this case, because Prahlad is a benefit. He's not a disease. He's actually a benefit to everyone, including his father. So he's got the philosophy right, but the application wrong. That's his problem. Well, we might say, what will the acharyas say if he had done that? They would have said, probably would have said he acted properly. Using the same example here that Hiranyakasipu used. And it was obvious Duryodhana was a disease. But that was Dhritarashtra, therefore he was considered to be twice blind. Blind materially and blind spiritually. His blindness was not only physical. He was blind to good reason and proper understanding. And Vidura was his well-wisher. Vidura was only his well-wisher. And he knew that, too. Actually, he actually even commented, I know what you're saying, but I can't do it. What you're saying is right. You ever have that, you know something is wrong, but you're attached to it anyway? Just like, I don't know, maybe you can think of something. But maybe we know something is not good for us, but we're so attached we think, I'll do it anyway. I know I shouldn't be watching this movie, but I like this one scene, so I'll have to see it again. I know I shouldn't talk to that person because they're very critical, but I do it anyway, and then again they become critical. I'm just using examples. So many times Krishna tells us, don't do that, or you know it's not good for you. Still you do it. What is that? Prabhupada uses the example. People read the package of cigarettes. You'll get emphysema, lung cancer, complications in pregnancies. And I think it even says in some places, smoking kills. Just two words. That's all it says on the package. But yet people still do it. And lung cancer is the highest form of cancer as far as numbers are concerned. I did some checking on that and I was told by doctors, yes, out of all the kinds of cancer, cancer caused by smoking is the highest. In America, it kills more than 60,000 people a year. That's statistics in America. 60,000 people a year die of lung cancer from smoking. I don't know what the Western world is like. But still, people smoke. What is that? It's attachment. Attachments are so deep that they overshadow one's good sense. So in Krishna consciousness, we also find sometimes we become faced with knowing, doing the right thing or somehow or other going towards our attachment. But if we slip and go to the attachment, we should think, Krishna, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean to. Please give me your mercy, I won't do it again. In other words, you pray for the strength to overcome that power that forces us. As Arjuna asks Krishna, what causes a man to act, you know, contrary to his own interest? And Krishna says, Kama Esha Krodha Esha. Rajaguna Samudbhavam Mahashanam Mahapapa Vidheha Vihavarinam. He said it's lust. Lust and lust only causes one to think other than lust shadows covers among man's intelligence. Krishna says, where is that lust? It's in three places, the mind, the senses, and the intelligence. How thick is the lust? It's either like a smoke covering fire, dust covering the mirror, or embryo covering the womb. So embryo covering the womb, that's deep, that's thick. So according to our consciousness, we're covered by different levels of material attachments, which can force us to try to fulfill those attachments even against our own best interest. So how do you overcome that? the power of your devotional service, and by becoming determined to in devotional service, keeping a regulated schedule and keeping yourself fixed in devotion, then you can overcome these tendencies. But Maya is strong. Prabhupada used to say that. The problem with you Western disciples is you do not fear Maya enough. He would say that to us. You take Maya too easily. So, therefore, devotee is abhayam. Abhayam means fearless. Devotee is not afraid of anything. But Prabhupada said one should cultivate a healthy fear of Maya. And that way one will be careful not to become victimized, or not to put oneself in a position where one could become victimized. Sometimes, you know, a person may be attached to, well, let's see, what would be a good example? I don't know. Watching, you know, crazy videos. So, you have to somehow keep a computer away from that person. or I guess maybe here's a better example. If you're attached to, you know, associating with certain people you know are bad association, you avoid that association. In other words, a situation which could trigger one to act differently or against Krishna consciousness, even though you might say, well, I'm strong, don't put yourself in that situation. Because if you do, you may find out you're not that strong. So avoid those situations which cause one to become weak. And if you're put into that situation, pray to Krishna. Pray to Krishna. Pray to Prabhupada, actually. Pray to that prayer to Prabhupada is very much more effective than praying to Krishna. Because Prabhupada is right there. So we should be very... As it says here, one should be very careful in executing one's devotional service because, you know, we don't want to be disturbed. Because by falling down or impeding our devotional service, by slipping towards Maya, getting back up again, it's easier to stay fixed than it is to get up. Maybe it's difficult to stay fixed, but once you stay fixed, you can make nice progress. You fall down, get up again, but each time you fall down, it gets harder to get up. It can get harder to get up each time. Okay, so any other questions?